Well, you guys probably couldn't relate to this, but there was actually a teacher that I had that I didn't get along with.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know all of you all get along perfectly with your teacher.
Oh, all of your classes.
No, not you guys. I'm sure you're dearly loved by your teachers, right? Oh no. Well, I had this one teacher in college that was not like, she just didn't like me. Have you ever had a teacher like that? They just, you feel like she just doesn't like you. I don't know if it's true or not, but like, no matter what I did, I couldn't ever make her smile at me. Now there's something you need to know about this teacher. She was like really, really old. Like really old, like one of those teachers. She had like glasses that were like maybe this thick, and her eyes kind of looked really big because of her glasses. You know, like they were this big, like an owl. And then like she had her hair like up in a bun all the time, so you never actually knew if she really had hair because it was like hidden up like a bird's nest. And I was waiting for like a bird to pop out sometime. Sometimes I thought I heard one. Anyway, and then like she had a lot of wrinkles, like so many wrinkles on her face that when she smiled, her lips would completely disappear. You know what I'm talking about? I was like. But the problem was she never smiled. So like this lady was not happy. And no matter what I did, no matter like I would bring her little gifts and stuff and like chocolates and things just to like kiss up and be like, hey teacher, you know, no, didn't work. She just didn't like me ever, no matter what I did. And so I'm getting through like about to graduate. And I look back at my schedule and there was one class I messed up on. And I needed that class to graduate. So I go to the office and I'm like, what can I do? And they're like, well, it's really, really close to a class that you can just substitute over. But in order to do that, you need to take this form. They hand me this big, long form. They're like, take this over. And they say, I have to go, guess where?
To that exact teacher.
And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, she has to be the one and is the only one that can sign off on your class. And if she doesn't, sorry, you got to stay an extra semester and take that class. And I'm thinking in my head, oh no, she's never gonna do this. And so I take my form and I fill that whole thing out. And the whole time I'm like, I'm just wasting my time. Like, why even fill this form out? She hates me. She's never gonna like me. She's just gonna say no. She doesn't have to do this. And so I take this paper and I go up to her office door and I kind of just stand outside the door for a few minutes because I'm scared to death to walk in. It's kind of like she's a fire-breathing dragon. It's just gonna like engulf me if I walk in the door. You ever felt like that? No, and you're scared and you're like, oh, she hates me. And so I take my form and I walk in the office and I see her and I'm like, she's like, yes. And I'm like, I'm sorry for interrupting you. And I take my form and I walk in and I'm like, and I explain the situation to her and I'm just waiting as her face just looks at me with those beady eyes and not one bit of smile cracked on her face. I felt like she was just gonna like push me out of her office and be like, leave forever. But you know what she did? I was like, can you please fill this form out for me? And then I went like this, like she was gonna swing at me. I was like, she hates me. She's like, I will.
Maybe she wants you out of the class forever.
That's what I thought. I'm like, she just wants to graduate me. She just wants me gone. But actually, you know what I did? I verbally went, why? What? Why? And I looked right at her and asked her why she was gonna do it. And she was like, excuse me? Like that, but not as like nicely, because it was a lot meaner when she said it. Yeah. And so I was like, just thank you. So I had her sign it real quick and then I just took off. I grabbed my paper and ran for the hills and I could not believe that teacher actually said yes. I'm like, why would she do this? She can't stand me. Unless I was thinking like, maybe she just wanted me to graduate. She couldn't stand me. She wanted me gone. So I was really, really, really surprised. And I didn't understand why she did it. I kind of sat there like, I still to this day, I'm just wondering like, she didn't have to do it. It didn't really make sense. She had to go way out of her way to do that. And I still don't know why, but as we look at our passage tonight, there's this dude that we're going to see in our passage who kind of is left in the same boat as I was, just asking himself, like, why did that just happen? Like, why would that happen to me? So read with me real quick in Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 40 to 45. And some of you guys might be familiar with this story tonight. Mark chapter 1. I don't hear many Bibles opening. Whoa. Okay. Or look at the screens, because we're spoiled with screens. That's fine, too. All right, here we go. Mark 1, verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to see the, and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, here's what's going on. Let me just recap this for you real quick. There's this guy who's a leper. It says a leper came to him in verse 40. Does anyone know what a leper is? Not a leopard, not like a big cat. Yeah.
Someone who has like a disease that's really gross.
A really gross disease.
That eats away at your skin and then you die.
Yes. It basically rots your body away until pieces fall off. Yeah.
Yeah, like your nose, ears, and ears. Ew. I didn't want to go that far.
Yep. Like, mostly like... Yeah, the limbs of your body are the first to start, and like your nose, and like it's gross, and your body just falls apart, and you look pretty gross, and you smell really gross because your body's rotting. And so this disease was really, really contagious. So like if I were in this room and I pretty much just walked up and shook your hand, I could give you the disease.
Oh, no.
Done. Now she's got it. Now both of you both have it, and it spreads really quickly. And so they had these really strict laws back in the day about people who had these diseases. If you had leprosy, you had like a whole set of rules that you had to follow by so you wouldn't get everyone else infected with leprosy. And if you had leprosy, you were pretty much looked down upon because people knew it was just a matter of time until you died. And so basically getting this disease was a life sentence for you. You couldn't hang out with like the common crowd. Like you'd have to give up all your friends. You couldn't play on your sports team anymore. You couldn't go to your school anymore. You'd have to go live somewhere else just with other lepers. And whenever you're walking down the road, if I were to see somebody who didn't have leprosy and I was walking out of my little colony, you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to yell something out when you're still far away so you wouldn't walk too close to me. I'd yell, unclean, unclean, so that you would know I was infected with a disease and I have to walk around until you were able to get by me. Like, it was a horrible disease, and it wasn't just bad because you were sick and dying, but people just wouldn't go near you. And there was no cure for you, and you were treated like an outcast because if you were around other people, they might get that same disease. And so this guy is a leper. And look what he does. It says, a leper came to Jesus. Well, Jesus doesn't have leprosy. Jesus isn't one of these guys living in a leper colony. And on top of that, this is Jesus. And so as Jesus is out walking down the road, a leper comes up to him. This is so far out of the cultural norm. This isn't acceptable for this guy to do this. You know, it must have taken a whole lot of guts for this guy to go up, because if he had done that, he could have died for doing this. They could have put him to death for breaking this law and going up to not just Jesus, but Jesus is the rabbi that everybody knows is going around doing all these awesome things. What if someone saw him go up to him and break this law, this rule? And yet he said, that's Jesus. I need to go talk to him. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care what happens to me. I know I'm breaking some rules here, but I have to talk to Jesus. And so even though he was a leper, it says he went up to Jesus. Nothing held him back. Wow, that's some risky faith right there. You know, like he really believed that Jesus could do something for him, and he was willing to take a big risk just to meet face to face with Jesus. Some of us need to have more faith like that. That risky faith that says, I'm willing to do things that might be risky for Jesus. Maybe it's like, I need to talk to kids at school that I'm just scared to death to talk to. Like, I want to tell them about Jesus, but I'm too scared. Maybe we need to have a little more risky faith, just like this guy, to be able to open our mouths and tell people about Jesus. Well, look what else. It says, he came to him, and it says that he was imploring him. Anyone know what that big word imploring means? What is imploring? AJ? Yeah. Asking for something. And that word imploring doesn't mean just regular asking. But what kind of asking is that, huh?
Begging.
And not even just begging, but this is like the big strong form for like begging, pleading that Jesus do something for him. So he's coming up begging Jesus. What humility that this guy had. Notice he doesn't go up going, hey, you have the ability to do this. Heal me right now. Come on. Do it. Do it. Come on.
Boom.
Right? Boom. Healed. But that didn't happen because it probably wouldn't have happened that way.
Sorry.
Thank you. You just hit me, but that's all right. He comes up begging, like begging Jesus. And I feel like sometimes as I approach Jesus with things, I'm not begging Jesus. I'm not putting him on the throne going, please, Lord, you know, I beg you to do this. A lot of times when I meet with Jesus, it's like, hey, look what you're going to do for me. You listen here, Jesus. You better do this because this is stuff I need. And how come you're not doing it? And if you don't do that for me, Jesus, you're not a good God. You see, some of us can crack smiles at that, but a lot of times if we just listen to our own prayers, we'll hear that we do that. That our approach toward God is like, hey, I need this, this, and this. And you better get on it. This man knew something as he approached the Son of God, that Jesus was the King. And his place as a servant would be to beg Jesus to do a work in him. And then it says that he was kneeling. Like, this guy was kneeling. I can't imagine what it would be like for a leper who's covered in all of these sores to crouch his body down in that position to where he was on his knees that were probably just, I mean, it had to be excruciating. And we don't think of that often. I almost read through it a couple times without even noticing. But that kneeling, I think, was a big thing for this guy. Because his whole body is in just absolute pain. And for him to put his knees down on the ground before Jesus and beg him, he's putting himself down at this place where he's just going, I surrender. Like, I can't do anything else, Jesus. I have no other way to heal myself. I have no other solution. There's no doctor in the world, in the whole wide world, that could heal me or help me. I have nowhere else to go. And so I'm going to humble myself before you and say, please, I need you to do this. I feel like as we approach Jesus, what an awesome example for us. Not just to make sure we look at him as King humbly, but to be on our knees and say, look, God, I'm humble before you because you really are the only one who can do this for me. I can't do this for myself. There's no one else in the whole wide world that could do this for me. I need you. And we've been talking about this gospel life. And tonight I thought as we hit this, what a beautiful example of what the gospel is. Our complete and total recognition that we have to have Jesus. That we absolutely need him above all else. And there's nothing else that can do anything for us without the Son of God. Sometimes we think of the gospel as a story we like to tell at church. And we think of all the different things that happen. Really, when it comes down to it, are we willing to put ourselves on our knees before Jesus and go, I need you because nothing else is going to do this. And this guy got it. With leprosy and all, he's kneeling down, begging Jesus, breaking all the rules, being risky, having faith, right there, surrendering himself to Christ, saying, look, there's no other option except for you. I need you, Jesus. And then he says this to Jesus. These are the words that come out of his mouth. If you will, you can make me clean. If you will. Like, not Jesus do it. Remember we said that? He didn't go up and start commanding and demanding things from Jesus. Like, he says, if you will. If it be your will. Look, the only one in all of this that really matters is you, Jesus. And so if you desire for this to happen, then so be it. So if it's your will. And look what he says. Not, could you try to maybe work on this arm maybe because I don't want to lose it? Or do you think you could try to give me some sort of something to help me feel a little better? Could you possibly? He doesn't say that. He says, you can. On his knees, begging, probably crying, looking at this guy, breaking all the rules. He goes, if you will. Okay, I'm not trying to tell you to do anything here because you're the King. But I know you can. I don't doubt it for one second. I don't think you need to try. I don't think you need to just see if it would work out. I know without a doubt in my heart that you can, Jesus. You are able to do this. Man, so often when I pray to Jesus, it's like, do I have that type of faith that says, God, I absolutely know without a doubt in my heart that what I'm asking, you're capable of doing. Not because I'm telling you what to do, God, because I know you know what's best, but I also know you can do this. I believe it with all my heart. You can work in me. So I pray with that kind of faith. Or sometimes am I like, I wonder if you can really do this, God. Like, if you can, maybe pull it off for me. Or do I pray and go, you're the King of the universe. There's no reason at all that I should ever doubt you, God. And this guy got it. Like, he got this gospel as he sat before Jesus at his feet. He says, you can. And then he says these three words, make me clean. Make me clean. I am so tired of being sick. I'm so tired of watching myself fall apart, Jesus. But I think he was saying something even bigger in this statement. And we'll see why in a minute when Jesus responds to him. But he was concerned with more than just his leprosy. He was concerned more than just being sick. When he asked Jesus to make him clean, he was saying, I want to be yours. Like, change my whole life. I get this entire thing wrong. Give me a brand new life. Don't just stop at my physical body. Change all of me, because as I see your power act in me and see how amazing you are, it's going to change everything, not just about my body, about me completely and my trust and faith in you, because I'll watch as the Son of God heals me. He does what no one else could do. That's going to completely and radically change my life. And so he says those three words. Make me clean. Man, that's a beautiful picture of repentance. You guys know what repentance is? Who could tell me what repentance is?
Turning from your sin.
Yeah. Turning away from your sin. Turning away from thinking that you're the way you're living your life is the best for you. And saying, God, you're the best for me. And so as this guy sat there, he was kind of just begging for repentance. And I think some of us maybe might be in that boat. Some of us, we don't know who Jesus is. And we keep hearing these stories on Wednesday nights and we're like, this guy sounds really awesome. But could he possibly love me? Like, could he possibly want me? Could I actually know this guy? Because I might be at the point where I just want to go, God, make me clean. Like, I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of this form of, like, I want to know you. And I just, as you sit there tonight and hear the rest of this message, I ask you, will you just ask yourself in your own heart, like, is that me tonight? Maybe I've gone to a Christian school my whole life. Maybe I've gone to church my whole life and I have a Christian family, but you know what? I've never really got to that point where I fell on my knees before Jesus like this guy and said, make me clean. Like, I never actually did that, Rob. I didn't know that was something I needed to do between me and Jesus. And so if that's you, will you just kind of like, just ask yourself tonight, is that me? Have I just always thought I was saved just because like I grew up in a Christian family or went to school in a Christian school? Ask yourself if you've actually done that. If you've actually surrendered to Jesus and said, make me clean. Well, in verse 42, this guy, some awesome stuff. Sorry, 41. This guy gets some awesome stuff happen to him. Jesus is moved with pity, it says. Like, he's looking at this guy and he doesn't just feel bad for him. He feels for him. He looks at his sickness and his disease and sees him, and he just like has this amazing love for this guy as he's on his knees before him in all of this pain. He's going, man, I love this guy. And seeing his pain does hurt my heart. You know, sometimes it's easy to think like, God's so big, you know, and he's way out there and he's made everything. How could he possibly care whether or not I'm going through stuff? How could that big God who I never really see, like, how could he really care when my heart hurts or when I'm going through things? Like, I have people in my family who are really, really sick. You know, maybe that's you. Does God really care about that? My parents fight all the time, or maybe they've already divorced and I can't even figure my family out right now. Like, I don't even know. Does God care about that? I'm getting bullied in school and kids are pushing me around and I'm always being told that I'm not good enough and they say such mean things to me. That hurts, you know? Does God care about that? Like, there are so many things that might be hurting our hearts right now. And I hope that as you read God's promise, God's word to us, that you see this. Not that he just had pity on some leper, but that his message here is that he has pity on us. That he sees our pain and he loves us so much he wants to stop it. He really does care. Might not always be the best plan, but he does care. And he does love you. And so Jesus was moved with pity, and look what he does. He stretched out his hand. Now imagine this with me for a second, because this is important. This isn't just saying like walking you step by step through what's going on, like some comic book, you know. You see like one picture and the dude's here and the next picture he's here and he's like trying to just, he's not doing that. This is a leper. So where do you think he is in proximity to Jesus? Is he like right up in his bubble like, hey, huh? He's probably kind of like stand back, still like nervous because he's a leper. He can't go up to like a healthy person. He's probably back, and he's on his knees, right? And he's kind of probably not even looking at Jesus because he's not used to being able to even talk to someone without leprosy. And so he's down probably on his knees way over here trying to stay away, but still trying to talk to him. He can't get close to Jesus. It just can't happen. So you know what Jesus does? Notices that only he can move forward to this guy. He stretches out his hand to the leper. He closes that gap between them because that leper is not allowed any closer. He won't go any closer. But you know, Jesus doesn't care about that. Jesus is so moved with pity and love toward this guy that he reaches his hand out through that gap, that invisible barrier that was there that was kind of keeping them apart, that culture, that law, those rules. Jesus reaches right through it and says, I love you so much, I'm going to cross that gap that you couldn't, and I'm going to touch you. Oh my goodness. It says that Jesus touched him? How could you touch a leper? You know that in these days you couldn't, like if you were a leper and I walked up to you and did that just in reverse, I couldn't touch you. Or I'd be in just as much trouble. They would suspect that I now had leprosy, and so now I would be treated as I was unclean. And so it was just as bad and illegal for me to come up to you if you were a leper and be your buddy and hang out with you. Jesus doesn't care. Not only does he cross that gap, he reaches out and he touches him. Whew. Now let me tell you, this might not seem like a huge thing to you, but if you were a leper and your body was rotting and you had no hope and you weren't on your face before this guy and he reached out and touched you, like, why would you do that, Jesus? Kind of like I was when that teacher completely and totally surprised me that why would you ever do that for me? This guy's left going, why would you ever touch me? I bet he even winced when Jesus like put his hand on him because he couldn't believe it. He was absolutely astonished that it had even happened. And Jesus, I mean, he just crossed the whole thing. Reaches his hands out and he touches this guy. And look at the words that he says back. Remember the guy said, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus responds this way. He goes, I will be clean. And it's almost like that guy would just, he wasn't sure whether or not Jesus would actually do it. He knew Jesus could do it. But the difference was, I'm just not sure if it's your will to do this. If you're actually going to do this for me, Jesus, I don't know if you really even care about just me. Like, it's just me. Everybody's waiting for me to die. They're just counting down the clock until I'm done. I'm a leper. I'm nothing. I'm an outcast. And Jesus wants to make absolutely sure that this guy hears those first two words. I will. I do love you. I do care about you. Your pain does matter to me. I will. I want the best for you. Man, after we read this, you know what? There is no room left for us to ever doubt or wonder if God actually cares about little old us. Because he would say the same exact thing to us. He will. Jesus does love us. He does care about the pain in our lives. And so he looks at this guy, he says, I will. And then he says, be clean, as he touches him. And look what happens. Verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Like, it didn't take any time at all. This amazing, powerful Son of God was able just to go, be clean, and poof, the guy was instantly clean. Like, if you had stood there and watched it happen, I wonder if you could have seen how fast his body changed. Because, like, things were falling off. He was rotting. It was disgusting. If you were to Google this, which I don't know if you're allowed to or not, you would be disgusted if you saw some of these pictures. I don't recommend it. In science class, you might see some. I don't know. I've seen some pictures of leprosy, and it made me nauseous. So to stare at this guy who is just like a big rotten mess, and as Jesus just says the words, this incredible power, boom, the dude changed. Instantly healed. Now, don't think this whole story is just about his leprosy going away. Because something much, much bigger is happening as Jesus makes this guy clean. Because for the Jews, you know that the word clean is actually really important. Things were clean or unclean. They were holy or they were not. And so for this guy to be called clean, Jesus wasn't just saying that he wasn't sick anymore. This guy, his sins had been washed away. He had been made right in the eyes of God so that he could be called clean. As he had faith in Jesus, as he surrendered himself and fell on his knees and said, Jesus, there's no other way. That's faith. That's this beautiful gospel we talk about all the time. He didn't get on his knees and go, please come in my heart, Lord. I don't know where you are or what you might be doing. He said, I surrender to you. That's the gospel. I surrender to you. You're my king. And in that moment, Jesus says, look, more than just your body is going to be clean. Your heart's going to be clean. You're going to be made right with your God as I forgive you of your sin. Wow, that's so awesome to see this picture play out in front of us. And then verse 43, look what Jesus does. He says, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, it says when Jesus sternly charged him. You know, that word charged is actually really important. Nowadays, when I hear the word charge, what do you guys think of?
Charge.
Charge. What else? Basketball.
Charged
with something, money, like cha-ching, I charge my credit card. There's so many meanings for charged. It could be confusing. What is he actually doing here? What does this word really mean? Charge, sometimes when there's graduates, they're going to graduate, there's a charge to the graduates that you give them. It's kind of like your last words to them. Charge could be a command. I'm commanding you to do something. I'm charging you to do it. Well, this word here, when I looked it up, I wanted to get to the bottom of what this actually meant. If we look in John 5:14, Jesus is talking to another leper, and he just heals him. Listen what happens. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. This word charge here means to prohibit using threats. Yeah. So, like, Jesus is prohibiting him from doing something in a very, very, very stern way. All right? I just healed you. Your sins have just been forgiven and you've been made completely new. And so this is my charge to you as I send you away. I'm charging you to do something. I'm commanding that you use your new life. Stay away from that sin I just forgave you of. Turn away from it and live a new life. Now here's the deal. There are so many people that if you told them, hey, do you want to go to hell? They'd probably go, no. Like, who wants to go to hell, right? Well, then if you don't want to go to hell, you better say this prayer. And if you say the prayer, then you're not going to hell. Okay, who's not going to say that prayer, right? Nobody wants to go to hell. I'll say it, sure, whatever you want me to do, so I don't have to go there. Is that the same picture that we get of this guy in the story? No. The difference is surrender. This guy was willing to surrender to the Son of God and hand him his whole life. And then, because of that, look, this is the hard part, because a lot of us in this room probably have done that. But there's another part that after we do that, guess what Jesus does to us as well? He charges us. You know that you're charged in the same way Jesus has given you a mission, and he has told you, listen, go and sin no more. I've just wiped your sins away. I've just forgiven you for something you don't deserve to be forgiven for. But how many of us walk away from that and start to live our new life? Because that's a really, really important part of this story. That we learn that, hey, now that I've been made new, I need to live in that new life. I need to act like that new creature that I've been made to be. I feel like some of us maybe don't quite get there. Like, we've done that, but now God's like, hey, listen, now that you've accepted Jesus, start living your new life. That may be you tonight. Maybe you're like, I already know Jesus and all this stuff you've been talking about. I know all that, Rob. And I want to ask you to do something tonight. Will you just ask yourself, have I actually heard his charge? And have I walked away and said, I'm going to go and sin no more? Like, I'm going to start living for Jesus for real. Not just be happy not having to go to hell, but I'm really going to be like, I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm not going to make the excuse I'm just a junior higher. I'm going to be a leader amongst my junior high friends. I'm going to be a leader amongst my high school friends who don't know you. Like, I want to step up and live for Jesus. I want to be on fire for Christ and not just sit back and do nothing. Because you've charged me to live a new life. So this guy gets this charge, and then He says that it says that Jesus sent him away and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Why do you think that Jesus was like, "Hey, I just healed you. I did all this awesome stuff, but you know what? Don't tell anybody what I did." Why do you think Jesus did that? He didn't want to be popular. Do you think Jesus doesn't want us to tell people about him?
No.
AJ, what do you think?
It wasn't time for people to know about him yet.
Oh. So this guy got a mission. Jesus did give him a mission, right? And he's given each of us a mission. But his mission wasn't necessarily go tell everybody in the world because this is my plan. And you know what Jesus wants us to do? To be obedient to exactly what he says. More than be zealous and crazy and passionate and go do anything we want for him, he wants us to be obedient with exactly what he says, how he says to do it. And follow his mission. We have a mission clearly laid out. And we're supposed to tell everybody we can about Christ. That's clear for us. And this guy's mission was don't tell people, it's not time yet. But I do want you to tell someone, listen who he's supposed to go straight to. All right? Because he wasn't saying don't ever tell anybody. He was saying right now, don't tell anyone else. Look what he's supposed to do. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. It wasn't just don't go tell anyone. It was go straight to the priest. Don't tell anybody else. Don't stop in the road. Don't take time to go to the store. I know you're going to want to tell the whole world because this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to you. But look, this is what I want you to do. Don't tell anyone else. This is your mission. Go straight to the priest. You see, back in the day, if you somehow got cured of leprosy, which was not very common, what you had to do by law was go to the temple, see the priests, and then there was this ritual that you would go through in order for them to declare you clean again. And when they said that you were clean again, you were allowed to enter back into the regular population with healthy people. You didn't have to live in the leper colony anymore. And people knew it was okay to talk to you again. So what he was supposed to do is go to this priest first. Now here's the deal. Everybody there knew who Jesus was. They had heard about his miracles. And the priests of all people did not believe that this guy was the real deal. Imagine if this man had gone straight to the priest. This man that they knew was a leper. They had seen him falling apart. They knew all the talk about Jesus. So if this guy had gone to the priest and said, "Look at me. Look at me. Can you believe this?" How'd that happen? What happened? Did you take a good pill? Did you find some new medicine? Jesus did this. Like I was healed. It was Jesus. There wouldn't be a doubt in these priests' mind that he was the Son of God. And so Jesus had a mission for this guy to go straight to them, show these religious leaders the power that I have to heal you so that you can be declared clean. Now, he just couldn't hold himself back. Like, this guy was just absolutely nuts for Jesus. He was so excited about what had happened. He wasn't very obedient yet. He surrendered to Jesus. He believed in him, but he was still learning that obedience part. Anybody else in that boat in here still learning a little bit of obedience to Jesus? So he doesn't quite follow the rules. And look what he does. But he went out and began to talk freely about it. He was just a little gabby mouth, all right? Just went around telling the whole world, "Can you believe what happened to me? Look, Jesus just healed me. This is ridiculous. Check this out." And then he spread the news, it says. So much he spread the news that Jesus couldn't no longer enter a town openly. He couldn't go into any towns. He actually had to go out into the deserts and different places like that because guess what would happen if he went into a town? Yeah, not just a few people, but pretty much these towns really had these like tight, narrow roads and alleys. There's no way all of the people that were going to see Jesus could even fit in the streets. Like the entire town would be gridlocked. Ever been stuck in traffic before for a long, long, long time on 95? Horrible. You can't get around. You're just stuck sitting and you're like, what if my car runs out of gas? I have to pee, you know, and I can't find a bathroom anywhere. This is horrible. You know, it's bad. Well, imagine all these people gathering out to see Jesus for hours and hours waiting to see him. And the entire town is just like that type of traffic. Can't get anywhere. You're going to make the city officials upset, first of all, because like nobody can go anywhere. The whole town stops. But here's the big deal for Jesus. The big deal for Jesus wasn't oppression because like persecution wasn't happening yet. The big deal for Jesus is that he really loved all those people. And he really wanted to be able to minister to those people. And in that type of setting, all crammed around him like that in that city, he couldn't do it. He couldn't ever see all those people. So you know what he would do? He would go out into the deserts where they would come from every quarter, and there would be enough room for them all to gather around, and he could actually minister to all those people. Jesus is just so in love with us. And I don't know where you're at tonight, guys. I don't know if you care about a word that's been said. But I tell you what, Jesus does love you more than anything. And it's not just some song that's written so you could sing it. It's the truth. And the next time you have hurt in your heart and you're really, really aware of it because it hurts so bad, I don't ever want you to think that this Jesus doesn't care about you or what could God want to have to do with you. And it's so clear in the Bible that he is absolutely crazy about you. And he feels your pain, and it breaks his heart that you have it. And he does love you. And so I want you to remember two words. Two words tonight. I will. You remember that Jesus looks at you in the middle of your pain, or maybe you don't know Jesus and you're in the middle of just sin and you don't know what to do. In the middle of that, there's nothing too bad that you could ever do. Jesus looks at you and goes, I will. I'll make you clean. I love you that much. I'll do anything. You could be a dirty leper. I mean, if Jesus would do this for this guy, imagine what he'll do for you. There's no stopping him. You're the only one stopping him. He just wants you to respond. And some of you guys tonight, and like you've been here over and over and over, and you've never responded. Maybe tonight might just be that night where you're like, yeah, tonight I want to tell Jesus I will. Tonight I want to respond. I want to be on my knees and be like, Jesus, I want you to be my king. Will you bow your heads with me for just a second? Like, I know there's no music playing right now, and normally we kind of need band music to like make decisions, or else we don't feel comfortable. But here's the deal. The most important decision you will ever make in your entire life is telling Jesus, yes, I will. He's already said it to you. He loves you so much. And like I said, you might be that kid that grew up in a Christian family, in a Christian school, and went to church, but you've never really done this. You've never been on your knees and just said, Jesus, take my life, take all of it. And so if that's you tonight, and you're like, look, I'm ready, Rob. Like, I want to do that. I want to go back and pray with a leader, and I want to do that. I want to know this Jesus and just give him my life and know for a fact. No more guessing or doubting anymore. I want to know that I'm Jesus' friend, like that I am good with God. Will you just stand up quiet? Nobody's listening. We'll actually be really, really happy that you do this. So you don't have to be nervous. Will you get up and just walk to the back? There's some people back there that love you and they want to pray with you and just show you how to say, Jesus, I will. You can go ahead and get up right now if that's you. And if you're good with Jesus and you're sitting there right now in your seat, will you pray for the people around you as we take a moment just and pause? Will you pray that if there is someone in this room right now, that the Holy Spirit would touch them? That they would have the courage to say, yes, Jesus, I will. Jesus, I want to know you. And as you've been thinking about who your five people are in your life that you want to share Jesus with, will you take a second right now and just pray for them? Wherever they are, they don't have to be here tonight. Just talk to God and be like, please, God, bless those five people that they could know you. That they can know how much you love them. And maybe you're here tonight and your heart's just broke. Just absolutely broke. You don't understand why all these things are happening to you. There's some leaders that would love to pray with you and just wrap their arms around you, give you a big hug, and remind you of how much Jesus loves you. So if you want to, and they're in the back, they're waiting for you to just to go pray with them, feel free. If you need to get up tonight and pray with somebody and just share a prayer request, go ahead and do that. Father God, we love you so much, Lord. God, I thank you for these students. God, I'm absolutely without a doubt for sure that every single one that's in this room, God, you have this amazing plan for. And Lord, you're going to use them for your kingdom. You're going to use them in amazing ways. But God, I beg you to convince us to live gospel lives. That the gospel doesn't just change our lives, God, but that it becomes our whole entire life. Father, help us to live for you. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Help us to love each other that much, God. Help us to care that much about each other and to be vocal about what you've done for us, like this guy was in the story, Lord, that we would just spread the news all over the place, that people would come to know you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.